All right, it's time for me to share a word with you, and I feel so privileged that I can actually see you. Let me also welcome everyone who is watching later on YouTube. You'll see me watching into a slightly different camera there where we're recording this message as well. So thanks for joining. I'm so happy that you're joining us this morning. We've got 51 screens at this moment that are on this meeting, and there's a whole bunch of couples. So we've basically again got most of our church family meeting online, and it's such a privilege. And I'm so happy to see you, and I really look forward to be able to meet physically with all you guys again. It's gonna be a while still. I think we're doomed to Zoom for a while still, but let's be happy that we live in a time where we have these opportunities to meet together like this. And so let me start with reminding you, last week was Easter, and I gave you two challenges. One was to give the flowers that you got away. I hope you did that. I hope you got flowers and hope that you gave them away. You had a good conversation with the person that you gave the flowers to. But there was another challenge, and that was to begin praying in these 40 days between Easter and Ascension Day, to begin praying for one, two, or three people, your choice, people around you, people that do not know Jesus yet, and that you'd really love to meet with him. I just want to remind you of that. We'll be sending quick studies every week to you with how you can pray for those people, with some interesting ideas. We do this in cooperation with Next Move organization that we're likely affiliated with. We have someone that works for Next Move, is part of our church, and we support them as a missionary. I just want to invite you again to select a few people around you, just friends or colleagues or people in your neighborhood. Monica, you're not on mute yet. Please mute yourself. To pray for. So let's begin with the message. Since the Corona crisis, which is now underway for quite a while already, I had this. I quite early on began thinking, what does this mean? What is happening? I mean, there's so many things that we can't do. There's so many things that we're unable to do in this time, and it feels a bit cramped. Like we have to be at our homes. The kids can't go to school, can't go to like a sports club. There's so many limitations on life. Of course, there's fear of getting sick, of people that we love getting sick. It's a real fear. It's a real opportunity that might happen. And so, what does that mean? What is God doing in the midst of this? How is He using this crisis to draw us closer to Himself? I personally don't believe that a virus like this comes from God, but I do believe that a crisis like this will be used by God in order to do something and to draw people closer to Himself, and then maybe to do even a significant work in our society. And so that's what I'm wondering about. How is this crisis drawing all of us closer to Himself? Because like when the whole world is shaking, you quickly discover that if the foundation you're standing on is strong enough to hold you. And so it's like when everything is shaking, you look down, what am I standing on? Is it firm? Is it strong? And that's why I believe it's so important in this time to be working on that foundation. And you could say, yeah, but the foundation I'm standing on is Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's absolutely true. You're absolutely right there. But the foundation I'm talking about is your personal spiritual practice, your personal life, spiritual life. Is that healthy? Is that in order? Is it strong? Is it disciplined? See, with the world in turmoil, the future unsure, our spiritual community, our church community, not being able to meet together, all meetings happening online. I think we rely on our personal spiritual practices more than ever. More than ever, we really rely on them. It's now up to you taking time to meet with God. So belonging to a church community is absolutely essential for a healthy Christian life. But I think ultimately, the health of your relationship with God depends on your devotion to spiritual practices. And so that's what I want to focus on in the coming weeks from now until Pentecost, is spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices. I'm going to give you a bunch of examples in that and kind of lead you through times of contemplation as well. Look forward to that. And I think it's fitting this time that we're in now. I have a big question for you. Let's take a moment and think about your personal spiritual life, what that's like. Just think about it. Your relationship with God. And my question to you is, how would you rate it on a scale from 1 to 10? Now, don't give that feedback to me. I won't share you my personal rating, but the rating is that, like, the number, the mark that you give, base that on your level of fulfillment. Don't compare yourself to, like, your spiritual hero. That's not what this is about. Comparison never helps. But is it fulfilling? Are you satisfied in your relationship with God? Be honest, like, you can be very honest with yourself. What is your level of fulfillment in your relationship with God? All right. My guess is that the honest answer for you to that question may be a little bit shocking. And it may make you realize that it needs some work. And so I would suggest it may be a good idea in the next coming weeks, now that we're more isolated, now that there's no Sunday mornings we can go to, no home groups that physically meet together, now that it's really up to us. Why don't we focus in the next 6 weeks up until Pentecost on spiritual practices, investing in that? Could it be that this time of social sobriety is actually an opportunity to focus our relational attention on God? Could maybe canceled church meetings be a sneaky way from God to invite himself back into all of our homes? Is it possible that the awakening in our city that we've been praying for, that we're still praying for, could it be that it actually starts with personal renewal in you and me? See, we are currently in this time between Easter and Pentecost, and it reminded me of the time for the disciples between Easter and Pentecost. And of course, they first got to meet the resurrected Christ, and they got to hang out with him until the ascension, until he went back to heaven. But there was a time between that and Pentecost, before their worldwide mission kind of exploded, before it started and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they do? We read in Acts 1, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. So this is where the Mount of Olives was, where the ascension happened. And then when they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. So it's this whole group of the disciples, and later actually they would expand to 120, excess, meeting in this upper room, waiting for the next move of God. Waiting for the next move of God. There's 10 days between the Ascension Day and Pentecost. And in this time, they were just gathering, they were praying, and they were waiting for the next move of God. And I think this time of the Corona crisis may be a time like that for us as well, where we're waiting for the next move of God. And in this time, we don't get to meet in the upper room, we get to meet in the upper Zoom, but we have this opportunity to meet with God in prayer, to focus on prayer, to focus on spiritual devotion, on devotion, and be prepared by God for the thing He wants to do next. And of course, you know that Pentecost was this explosion of the presence and the power of God and miracles and gospel preaching, and on the first day, how many was it? 2,000 or 3,000 people came to faith. It was this amazing move of God. Why don't we use this time, and we don't know how long it's going to be, this time to really focus on our personal devotion to God, on renewal in our relationship with Him, getting ready for His next move. And so over the coming 6 weeks, we'll be talking about spiritual disciplines. And we'll talk, for example, about meditation, like just contemplating on God's word, on prayer and different forms of prayer, on confession, actually, celebration, some of those things. We'll dive deep into those, and I'll give some suggestions to how you can make that practical in your personal spiritual life. But today I want to start at the very beginning of that. Where does that start? And it actually starts with longing. Just with longing for God. That's where renewal in your relationship with Him starts. Longing for God. Now, as you may know, Anya and I just came back from South Africa. We were there most of the month of March. And Anya's family lives in this area called the Karoo. And in the Khoi Khoi language, some of the original inhabitants, people that lived in South Africa, the Khoi Khois, they call Karoo is a Khoi Khoi word, and it means dry land. And it's absolutely true. It's a semi-desert, very dry, almost nothing grows there, and it hardly ever rains. And it's interesting. I thought that the Dutch speak about the weather more often than any other people group in the world. But actually, the South Africans come pretty close, because a lot of the conversations I was in, and especially when some of her family gathered from all over the country, there was so much talk about the weather. Just one thing is different. The way we talk about sunshine, they talk about rain. Oh, has that area had some rain already? Oh, yes. Well, close to where we live, we had some rain, and the plants started to grow, and it was beautiful and everything. So they celebrate this rain. And actually, while we were there, it rained again for the first time in a long time. And it celebrated. Like, I'm sitting inside and I'm like, I know rain. This is not great. But for them, it's this blessing pouring down from heaven, and the whole land sort of starts to flourish. It's funny how that works, and that helped me to understand some of those Bible passages, you know, like Psalm 63, where it says, "Oh God, you're my God, I earnestly search you. My soul thirsts for you, my whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water." Or even more familiar psalm to you, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with him? Can you relate to this a little bit? That feeling of thirsting for God, of that you're in a dry spell in your relationship with Him, that you're not hearing from Him, that you're not rejoicing in God, that it feels dry, it feels like God is not there, He feels absent, and it feels like your soul is thirsty, like your life is this dry and parched land, really in need of some rain. Now, I know in the times when I went through a dry spell in my relationship with God, usually because of a lack of discipline, I would feel like there's nothing good that can grow from here. I can't flourish because I'm not receiving that living water from God. I'm not receiving that rain. Now, unfortunately, there's no presence of God button that you can just push. There's no, I'd say like a blessing button or a blessing handle. And you're covered with blessing. It doesn't work like that. It's actually a time that we live in, like these recent decades, so much is achievable, reachable. It's within the palm of your hand, literally your phone. Like, if I want to eat sushi tonight, I order some sushi and it's there. Like, I can have it here in like an hour from now. I'm not sure if they're open at this moment, but like, it's so, like, if I want to watch a certain movie and it's not available yet, I can download it from somewhere. It is, there's this whole world of instant gratification, of getting a loan and buying something that you want, of doing this, doing that. Everything is reachable. Everything is close by. Everything is, if we're hungry, we can go to McDonald's and we can get something to eat. It's so quick. It's so fast. We're so used to instant gratification, and we may expect that this is the same for our relationship with God, but it's not. And we have unlearned what it's like to journey with God. And I think we need to relearn that again, what it is like to really journey with God. And so I think in this time, it's so important to honestly look at our spiritual lives and see where we are and explore maybe some new ways to relate to God and to be revived by Him. And I think, like, last week I spoke on, the spring garden of the resurrection, how that is a symbol of the renewal that we can experience in our lives, and that is happening in this world, that a new season has started, a new reality has set in for all of us. And I think maybe in the coming weeks, what we can focus on is blossoming, really flourishing in our relationship with God, in how we relate to Him, in what He's doing inside of us, that we can flourish. And so I want to finish off this time with a quick moment of contemplation. And I hope that this exercise will help you to get more in touch with your inner longing for God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask all of you to close your eyes for a little bit. Just close your eyes. Settle into this moment. Embrace this moment of silence. And then receive the words that I'm speaking out over you from Psalm 63. Just let the word of God wash over you. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water. I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I'll praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who trust in him will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Okay, now hold on to the silence and keep your eyes closed. Let's contemplate for a second on what you just heard. And express to God what spoke to you most. What was it? What sentence hit you in the gut? Just express that to God. Now my question is, what is God's invitation to you in that? What's God's invitation to you? I'm going to read this psalm again. Stay in this mode of prayer and of silence. And my prayer for you is that as I read it again, that it will speak to you in a new way. And it will maybe confirm that invitation of God to you. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there's no water, I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you! I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feasts. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those who are plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who trust in him will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Lord, in this moment we open our lives to you. And we invite you in to awaken the longing deep inside of us for you, for more of you, for a deeper relationship with you.